Tensions in the Middle East show no sign of cooling off.
The Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Cheryl Glazer. Israeli missiles are once again taking aim at Beirut. At least 23 people have been killed so far today in Lebanon. Meanwhile, Hezbollah fought back this weekend with new attacks on the Israeli city of Haifa. The fighting has taken a human and economic toll on both sides of the border. Reporter Hillary Krieger looks at the financial fallout in Israel.
Until last Wednesday, northern Israel was a popular spot for tourists. It offered something the rest of the country generally lacks: forested views and quiet surroundings. But since then, Hezbollah has rained over 1,000 rockets on the region. The attacks have shattered the calm and littered the countryside with rubble and charred earth. That has sent virtually every Israeli tourist packing. Rachel Levy runs a bed and breakfast in Rosh Pina, 10 miles south of the Lebanese border.
All the restaurants are closed. All the rooms are empty.
Thousands of residents, Levy among them, have also fled south, out of range of the rockets. Those remaining are mostly in bomb shelters.
No one walks on the street. It's like a ghost town.
Retailers and service providers are hurting. So are factories and banks, which have been closed for days. Agriculture is also struggling, especially the many poultry farms. In Jerusalem, I'm Hillary Krieger for Marketplace.
Ever since Hurricanes Katrina and Rita hit, Louisiana and Mississippi have been haggling with Washington, D.C. over aid to people who lost their homes. This week, the first checks should finally go out, opening the floodgates to some $10 billion in federal aid. Gulf Coast homeowners will get money directly from Uncle Sam. Then they'll have to decide whether to rebuild, relocate, or use the cash to cover expenses incurred since the hurricanes hit. The Senate kicks off debate today on legislation that could boost federal funding for stem cell research. The controversial bill has already passed the House. The Senate's expected to give it the go-ahead as well. But President Bush has vowed to veto the measure. As Marketplace's Sarah Gardner reports, it's a high-stakes debate, both politically and financially.
The federal government does fund research on embryonic stem cells. Last year, it spent more than $37 million on more than 150 stem cell-related projects. But President Bush has restricted federal money to research on stem cell lines created before 2001. But those lines are becoming exhausted, and scientists want the restrictions lifted. If that happens, more federal dollars could follow. Jesse Reynolds is with the nonprofit Center for Genetics and Society.
That pool of money would increase as the amount of research that could be funded becomes broader. We're talking about the upper tens of millions of dollars per year, federally speaking.
No matter what happens in Washington, private and state money will probably end up funding most future stem cell research. California alone has committed $3 billion. I'm Sarah Gardner for Marketplace.
The situation in the Middle East has been doing a real number on the financial markets. The Dow tanked 3.2% last week. The Nasdaq knocked off 4.4%, and oil prices are feeling the heat this morning. In London, the price of Brent crude hit a new all-time high of $78 a gallon. This is Marketplace. After almost 90 years in business, Hertz has a better idea. The rental car company plans to go public this week, as Janet Babin reports.
Hertz had intentions of going public last summer when it was owned by Ford, but a group of private equity firms ended up acquiring the company last December. Since the buyout, revenue is up 9% over last year. But credit analyst Betsy Snyder with Standard & Poor's doesn't think Hertz's new owners had much to do with it. She says the company has always been profitable.
They generate strong cash flow. What more could a buyer want, right?
Hertz is likely banking on that sentiment, but Henry Hardeveld with Forrester Research says the IPO could tank if gas prices keep rising.
People either may not fly, which is where they're most likely to rent cars. They may curtail the number of days they stay away, or they just don't rent the car at all.
The company didn't give a price range for the shares or say how many it would offer. I'm Janet Babin for Marketplace.
And you're listening to American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Medtronic, announcing the Triumphant Souls Award and the Global Heroes Program, Medtronic Twin Cities Marathon programs for runners with chronic disease. More at MedtronicTwinCitiesMarathon.org. And by LendingTree.com, where you can choose from up to four customized loan offers, 1-800-555-TREE. When banks compete, you win. LendingTree.com.
This is Marketplace. I'm Cheryl Glazer.
And now it's time for the Sloan Sessions.
Word has it GM's board is going to meet today to talk about the pros and cons of an alliance with Renault and Nissan. Backers say a three-way tie-up could help the carmakers cut costs and open up new markets. But Newsweek magazine's Alan Sloan isn't sold on the idea.
In theory, if you had three companies that more or less are in different parts of the world and have some overlaps but not many, in theory, you could spread costs over a larger number of vehicles and do all this wonderful stuff. In reality, I don't think that you could possibly have an alliance between Renault and Nissan on one hand and General Motors on the other, all of which have different shareholders, all of which have different problems. I don't think it's feasible. And to be blunt, I don't think it's what this is really all about.
This whole idea is being pushed by Kurt Kerkorian, a big-name billionaire and investor in General Motors. If he's not looking to cut costs, what the heck does he want out of this then?
I think the game here is not so much cutting costs at General Motors, but deciding who gets to run General Motors. Kerkorian, who owns just under 10% of the company, and his associate, a guy named Jerry York, who's really smart and who sits on GM's board, they would like Carlos Ghosn to run the company, or somebody other than Rick Wagner, the current chairman. Wagner is being, I think, extremely smart in how he plays this. He's not saying, no, this is ridiculous, but you can be sure in whatever negotiations there are, there'll be so many obstacles and problems and this and that, that nothing will happen unless action is forced from GM's board or from the outside.
So do you think that this is really all just a ploy for Kerkorian to get something else he wants, perhaps, you know, to dump another line like they did Oldsmobile?
This is, to me, it's like the old line about somebody who's sick and his mother says, why don't you eat some chicken soup? And he says, Ma, can it help? And the answer, his mother says, what can it hurt? I mean, what does it hurt Kerkorian to do this? York and Kerkorian want to shake things up, and they're shaking things up. I think what Kerkorian and Jerry York want is change at General Motors. Nobody ever says anything on the record, but the jungle drums are all beating, and if you put your ear to the ground, you can see that the story is that, gee, GM has all this bureaucracy, gee, GM has got a zillion brands, gee, GM is still set up as if it had a 40% market share in the United States, and now it's 24, and it needs to shrink and change and adapt. And the GM people are saying, our problems are unique. Nobody could fix them but us. The idea of some outsider coming in and doing this is absurd. So in public, everyone is sort of smiling and gritting their teeth. They have their arms around each other. And in private, I think the knives are out.
Alan Sloan is Wall Street editor of Newsweek magazine. He'll be back next week with another edition of The Sloan Sessions. Here in Los Angeles, I'm Cheryl Glazer. Thanks for joining us.
American Public Media.
Are all those people who park in the hen?
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.